The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Today is February 18th, 2016, and we are sponsored by Dr. William Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com. Dr. Wong will be on here on Friday. There's a guy that people go berserk over. I downloaded his show a day and a half ago, and it's just spinning out of control. So check that out. And next, we got Sorenex.com. 803-978-2253, extension 111. Bert's on here every month, and Richard's on every other month. Great, they've been great to me in the show and everything. Steven Santangelo, another regular on here every month. Unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. You can contact Steven at primalcreations@aol.com, Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75. GrasslandBeef.com, that's our good friend John Wood. He's also known as U.S. Wellness Meats. They're loaded with CLAs and omega-3s. He's grass-fed and grass-finished. He also has grass-fed lamb, bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. We also have PlanOfYourWorkouts.com. It's a logbook, 8x6. I've got one. Jason Fulner puts this out. You can also go out to Amazon Prime for $5 and no shipping. It's organized perfectly. Jason, is a Marine, and he trains and listens to Motivation and Muscle in his shed. Awesome. StrongerGrip.com. That's Ryan Pitts, and we're going to get into something quickly, but first I want to read this off. He's been in business for 10 years. They've made high-quality strength gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling, and you've seen their trophies on ESPN. They've also been featured in Men's Health magazine, and they've made custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of hard-training strength athletes like ourselves. This is big. If you want to win the hammer that he built for FBC, and you've seen it all over the place, this hammer's 25 pounds empty. You can put 15 pounds of shot in the handle. It holds 83 pounds a shot. It is by far the smoothest hammer I've ever thrown over my shoulders. Here's the deal. You want to win that $350 hammer? Go out and make your best video. I don't care what it is. As long as it has to do with strength, you can be on this show or not. Everybody's invited. I'm not excluding anybody with this. All you have to do, upload it to YouTube. On the subject line, type in FBC. And Stronger Grip with a dash in the description. If you'd like to go down below, it'd be even better. Give a description of it, and please put your email address in. If you don't put it in, we bypass you and go to the next one. So you got a great chance to win that, and best of all, you're going to get a shot to come on Motivation and Muscle. Ryan will be in one, or we'll have him on both. You'll be able to come on the show, you know, describe it, you know, how much you want it, the whole deal, you want it, and how much fun we're going to have with it. So enter. You got till St. Paddy's Day, March 17th, so get involved. Don't forget, the top 10 ways to build mind and muscle, that's out on Fiorella Barbell Co. It's a free ebook. Just give us your email address. It's very simple. It's 10 paragraphs to make you think, commit, and take action. Nothing real complicated. Also, too, the two biggest products we got to date, Strength Times Power equals success in the winner's circle. Strength Times Power is shot in HD. I narrate the whole thing, and I use this for a lot of different people, but I used a lot of this to knock 43 pounds off Dennis in 6 months, and he was in trouble because he was pre-diabetic. So we got him down. Incredible. You wouldn't believe today and today and yesterday. It's insane. Winner Circle, that's 12 modules, all verbally by me. It traces where I started, all in between where we are today, and I've got a ton more I can add on to it because we're doing so many unique things right now I haven't even put out. It's got routines. It's got philosophy. It's just got what you need to get ahead. So take a chance on yourself, and anything you need, I will help you out with anything. And I got news for you. We're not somebody that's sitting in a chair writing stuff for people. Everything you see here, I've done. I back it 150%. So check that out. And the biggest thing here is sponsorship. Right now, for this month, it's $100 still. $30 of that goes to muscular dystrophy for flu shots for the kids. I want everybody to know where the money was going. Obviously, we were very involved. If you know anything about me and the show, FBC and M&M is dedicated to my brother Jimmy, who died of muscular dystrophy the same way. Common cold, went to pneumonia at an early teenage age. Believe it or not, they cannot fight it respiratory-wise. And he had Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which is the most deadliest of all. It seems like we lost him an eternity ago, but he's with me every day here. He's a big part of everything here, and he is by far the toughest individual I've ever met in my life. And I'm very proud of that. So get on board with our millions of listeners. As I said, man, we don't follow the path. We clear cut it, and I mean that wholeheartedly. You will have the best 25 years of your life if you join my family. And I welcome everybody, and I don't care what you lift or don't lift. You still got something here for everybody to listen to. Well, today, I'm very pleased. I've got requests for this gentleman on and off quite a bit, like a lot of people. I had David Whitley on here last week, and he said, you got to reach out to Jed Johnson. I said, I did a long time ago, but we just kept missing. Well, we got Jed on today, and I couldn't be happier because we're going to bring somebody else in here now, too. That's not only a guy that's done a ton of stuff, but a big grip guy, probably one of the best in the world, obviously, and we've got him on the show. But I want to just give a brief bio on Jed. He's a performing strongman. He's a speaker, and obviously he's a three-time national grip strength champion. And we're going to bring him in, and we're going to let him give a little bio on herself. But we're going to, as everybody knows, when we do a first-time show, you know, I know people have heard of Jed, but I'm sure there's some people that maybe aren't familiar with him. And we like basically getting a good foundation with this gentleman or anybody that's on here, because we're going to be we're going to pat ourselves on the back a little bit. We're going to figure he's going to really want to come back, and usually everybody does, and we're very happy about it. We're going to talk, too, about the fuse. Jed, welcome to the show. Happy New Year, and it's good to have you aboard, sir.
Thanks a lot for having me, man. And, man, I'm excited, dude. I can tell right now that that your show is professional, and you're going places, man. So I'm thankful to be a part of it. I really appreciate it, and thank you to anyone who might have requested me. That's great to hear. Had no idea that I was being requested. So,
well,
man.
You know what? Hey, Jed, I'll tell you this. If I had my way, there'd be a ton of people I got, and a lot of people have reached out to me, and a lot of people I've gone after. But the hours here alone to run this show, so I just can't get to everybody like that. And down the road, I hope we can, because I know there's other people. But the foundation and the people we got now that you've joined with us too, we're second to none, man. I know people say, well, there's other stuff out there. I got news for you. When Steve Cotter was on here, he said the same thing Clint Darden said to me two weeks ago. He goes, I can't believe the people you got on this show, man. He goes, you got stuff from everywhere. And I said, you know what? It was never by design. It was just people I admired or other people told me about, said you got to go after them. So I couldn't be happier here, and you've got so much knowledge, and we're going to really lend some knowledge. And I hope we've really got some kids coming in here now. You know, a guy like you can offer hope to some kids that maybe are just hanging by a thread, and that goes for adults too. So why don't you give everybody a bio about yourself, and then we're just going to kind of get in and take it by ear.
Awesome, man. Yeah, I got involved in strength training mainly because I'm a huge wrestling fan, and back when I was a young teenager, I was watching, you know, guys like Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior and guys like that. And when the show was on, I would get down on the floor and do push-ups and sit-ups and all that stuff. And I wanted to look like those guys. So, yep. You know, that's kind of how everything got started for me. And then, you know, I played baseball my whole life, and I actually went to college to play and hurt my arm bad. And And, you know, when you're involved in competition like that for so long, you can't just walk away from all competition and just be happy with your life. So I needed something else. So that's when I started, you know, getting into the gym on a frequent basis, you know, multiple days a week, like just about every single day I was in there. And my main objective was, I guess, bodybuilding, because I thought that I could become a professional bodybuilder. But what it quickly turned into was more along the lines of strength training. And I experimented with things like powerlifting, Olympic lifting, got into kettlebells, eventually worked my way into strongman competitions, and I found out about grip sport. And, you know, I figured, hey, you got to have a strong grip for strongman. So I signed up for a grip contest, and it turned out that I was actually better at grip than strongman, even though that was probably my favorite thing to do at the time. And then as time went on, I got some injuries to my back. I had a bad lower back ever since my freshman year in high school. And eventually I stopped doing strongman competitions and just stuck with grip, and it's paid off. It's especially in the last few years, now that I've been even more healthy and kind of fine tuned my programming, grip sport has been my primary driver for you know, along lines of fitness. But it's pretty much always been about strength training, man.
Mm-hmm. No, there's no doubt about it. And I mean, I've watched you over the few years. I mean, I was watching you when you're hitting all the big curls and doing the dips, and you know, you looked like you'd kind of changed things up a little bit. But, well, I guess here's the first question. Obviously, we know that what influenced you, and wrestling influenced a ton of us. Let's face it. I mean, it was pretty cool stuff. And, you know, I don't want to sound like a guy that you know, it's not out there anymore, but a lot of the stuff like we grew up on, it's not the same, man. I mean, I've looked at stuff, and it's just not the same with anything anymore. It's like everything's got this big tag on it. You know, let's face it. You go out to Facebook, I think two-thirds of it's all BS anyways. And I like the idea that you have, you know, let's face it, Arnold was around. I was always a big fan of Kazmaier, obviously. There's certain people that put that indelible print on you, and I can remember, like, you're talking about bodybuilding, you know, it's like, man, back in the day when you had guys like Chuck Sipes, and you had Draper, and you had Colombo, and you had Schwarzenegger and Oliva, you know, these people weren't just bodybuilders. You know, most, I don't even know if a lot of people know Arnold was a power lifter. Sergio Oliva was an Olympic lifter. These guys just weren't like one trick ponies. And if I had my way, I mean, and we could bring bodybuilding back to the day where you'd have to some of them would Olympic lift or whatever they're doing before a show, walk out on stage and then do your whole repertoire, I would go back and watch that stuff again. I don't even look at it now. But what do you think, or if you think, what was it, we were younger then and more impressionable, or has everything kind of like flip-flopped around, and a lot of that stuff that you're looking for, unless they go out to your site or my site or you know, like Buds or guys that are kind of a little bit obscure, a little bit out there for some people. What do you think it is, Jed? What's changed, man? Or is society just softened too much? Or how would you classify that?
I don't know, man. I guess the thing that I see is, you know, you've got a key group of people that seem to, you know, be most recognizable. And unfortunately, young kids are easily influenced, and they think that the results that, you know, pro bodybuilders get, they can easily get themselves as long as they go to the gym. I know that when I was younger, man, I thought that as long as I did those routines, you know, set per set and rep by rep as what was being, you know, told to me in the magazines back in the day, that I would get that big. And unfortunately, that's not the case. There's much more to it going on than what is in those magazines. And but still, you know, now there's even more avenues for someone to fall into that trap of that mental programming by those people that are, you know, spreading half truths. You know, with things like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and things like that, and the fact that people do not have a problem, you know, being less than 100% truthful about their training, you know, that allows, that makes people become influenced by them, and they get roped in even harder. And unfortunately, the people that are actually doing like natural training and going about strength the right way don't have that kind of a platform behind them in order to, you know, spread the word and become an equal influence. So, yeah. I mean, that's my thoughts right there. It's not something I really think about too much because I usually just focus on what I need to do to get my stuff done. But, you know, that's my assumption anyway.
No, I agree with you. And you know, that's why I went out and we pulled this thing together in Motivation Muscle. And I'll tell you briefly, you know, like any kid, you know, I remember when I was sitting there trying to figure out, you're 10, 11 years old. You don't have a clue to what you're doing. You're looking at, you know, Muscle and Fitness back then, Dan Lurie's magazines, anything you get your hands on. If you get a hold of Perry Rader's Iron Man, anything I could get my teeth into. And one of the big reasons why this show came about is because I still think of myself as that kid sitting at a table saying, okay, if Jed Johnson was around back then, what would I ask him about grip or stones or attitude or inspiration or speaking? You know, or what if I'm thinking like a guy like Mike Gillette with Mind Boss? What am I going to ask these guys? Bill Crawford, how do I lift the stone? All these things. So what I did, I felt, was I took my passion and my enthusiasm for everything, and I brought it on here, and I said, you know what? There's a kid in all of us, and there's a lot of kids that are going to be listening to us. What can we do? Can we have some influence positively on them? Could we maybe shape the next great stone lifter, maybe the next great executive out in the field of private business? Do we set up an entrepreneur of the future? Do we have, you know, a woman that is slight maybe in stature but can just jack a big clean and jerk overhead, you know? This is what I always felt was very important. I felt we were lacking it totally. Now, I know there's a lot of good shows out there. This is not a crack on any of them. But Motivation Muscle is going to be the best if it isn't right now. And I tell you this, and I'll say this with nothing other than conviction. We will be the biggest influence out there in the years to come. And with the people we have on here and the people we're building in this family, I don't see it any other way. And this is what I want to do. I want to be that guiding light, that solution that, you know, when you're not sure or you know, like James Fuller was on the other night and we had problems in Maine, so we got to do a show tomorrow night with him. And he was talking, he was just in your contest this mm-hmm. past weekend. And, you know, he's like, well, I want to know what you like. I mean, he goes, I want to send some video, and what do you like to mess around with right now? And I said, right now it's thick bars, you know? So we got into a discussion about thick bars, and we've gotten into that with other people because, you know, I told you offline that I wanted my grip to limit everything I was doing because there's so much devotion to stones. I don't need to be banging myself up if possible, and I don't need to be overtraining the body. Right now, we have to be able to walk 95 feet in my mind with a 400-pound Hoosa steel stone. Not a real easy proposition, but it'll be done. So that's kind of my take on everything, Jed. And I like the idea that we can motivate people. I've had people, you know, send me nice notes that I hadn't trained in 10 years. You know, I listen to your show, I'm back. You know, I listen to it before I go to work and when I get home before I go to bed. Or a couple of my friends, they own gyms, they play it in their gym. That's not to pat myself on the back, but what we're doing is we're changing lives, and I think that's the reason why this whole big dream and evolution of all this has come about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, man, and it's all about influence. People need someone else that's going to point them in the right direction, because right now I think a lot of people are headed down the wrong path. They think they have a good leader, but unfortunately they don't.
No.
So
no. And you know what else too? It's like, isn't it just fun as hell to go out and try stuff with lifting? I mean, and I like to keep things to this to a point because I've said this before and I want to get your opinion on this. You know, I was very lucky. We had a hell of a family, and we still do. You know, we've lost people like everybody does. But, you know, my parents had to make things even, I think, tighter with Jimmy especially. And I can't even imagine the pressure they were under all the time with him. And we always had a good, safe family. The house was a big house. It was always loaded with our friends coming over, always playing sports, the whole thing, taking Jimmy anywhere we went, whether it was, you know, when we were playing competitive baseball, football, et cetera, et cetera. And the only limiting factor with him is he couldn't get out of a wheelchair. And that's a big limiting factor. But, and you know, having that under me, but then tasting the iron. You know, at first it was sand weights, but, you know, but the whole point of the matter is lifting has shaped me in a way I don't think anything else could ever had. You know, like yourself, you played competitive sports, but I got to tell you, I like playing on a team, but I wasn't ever a team sport guy. I always liked the individual. I always liked to have to measure up. I always liked, you know, you and I both know there's times you go out and do that stuff and you're shaking your head. Why am I doing it? I'm hurting this, that, and the other thing. Or you get your ass kicked in the gym really good that night and you're like pissed off, man. And it's like, but you know, I could say to myself a million times, I've had enough of this. I'm not going to do it. I won't even make it to my front door, and I'm already thinking about 2 days from now.
Right.
What's your feeling on that? I mean, you know, what? I mean, has lifting and everything, has it had a really pronounced effect on everything you do, and obviously outside of your life too? Do you feel you would have been a different guy if you had never got into this stuff?
Oh, yeah, I would have. Yeah, I'm sure if I never would have gotten into strength training, I probably would have been doing a lot of drinking and other, like, healthy
yep.
things.
Yep.
But, you know, thinking about it, even before you asked that question, you know, you spoke about team sports. And I think as a kid, I was mostly involved. Well, I was only involved in team sports, really. And
the
I guess the bad thing, if there is one about team sports, is if you screw up or mess up, there might be someone else that can kind of pick up the ball for you and help you out.
Yep.
And that's not the case in strength training. And I think if I would have been involved in strength training as a youngster, I think it would have made me an even more valuable team player, because I would have gone through those challenges by myself. I would have been more mentally strong and would have been better when it came to, like, the big game, because I definitely remember, like, you know, being afraid, being intimidated, and kind of crumbling under pressure because I didn't have anything like that where I was forced to stand on my own. So
yep.
I think if I could go back and I could get involved in strength training and know a little bit about what I know now, I think I would have been a much better team player.
Yeah, I agree. And you know what I always say now? If I knew about sandbags and stones, what I know now, and started at 13 years old, I fathom to think what would have happened. But you know what the trade-off is, and this is how I see it. You and I wouldn't be sitting here talking to one another right now if we knew everything we needed at 13 years old,
yeah.
Right? And this is where a lot of people make their errors in judgment and end up quitting this stuff, because they feel they need to know everything right away. This is going to be the most, and I don't want to scare anybody off, but there's going to be times where this stuff is going to be traumatizing to you. You know, mentally, I mean, you can just get your head kicked in with this stuff. And it's like Jed said, you know, when you're on your own and you got to perform, you know, when I'm outside last night, I have nobody clapping for me, nobody pushing me, nobody loading my plates, you know, nobody telling me, oh, you're off on this side, or you got to do this and that. You know what it is? It all falls on my shoulders. And I've said this before on shows. I lost two of the best people ever that I trained with. And one was my brother, and the other one could have been my brother, Joe. And we had differences in opinions. They were doing the same power body stuff, liked it. Wasn't for me anymore. I started all the dead stop stuff out of the rack. They thought that was insane. Why would you take a squat and start it at the bottom loaded? Why would you press overhead loaded? You know, and obviously partial pulls, all that, but a little different with that off the ground. Couldn't rectify it, and it was a split that lasted for 10 years. We didn't speak because of that. It was bloody ugly, but I'm going to tell you right now, Jed, that was the best thing that ever happened to me, because I learned how to take care of myself finally. I learned how to be creative, how to build equipment. Well, I designed it, and a buddy of mine who's a welder would do it, or we'd have somebody professionally do it. It made me so much better. It made me take chances of like going to Iceland. It took me right out of my shell. It was like somebody punched me repeatedly in the face a million times because I was like, holy shit, man, I'm all alone in here. What am I going to do? You know, obviously I had to have a power rack because I wasn't going to take a chance of getting killed. Mm-hmm. But what it created for me was a guy that really found his place, and I keep growing, man. I had Dr. Wong on here 2 weeks ago, and we were talking all about that stuff. And I said to him, why is it now, even being banged up, building shit, having all the pressures of the business to make it come alive, why is it I'm hungrier now to train than ever? And he said one word, adversity, man. He said you learned how to deal with your adversity. You learned how to take that and turn it around on the other end of it and become something more than you ever were. And I want to get that. I've gone on. Go ahead. Comment on anything you want with that.
Well, I like what you said about, like, it's kind of like decision-making process. And you said that you went in a different direction, and it was the best thing you could have done for yourself. I kind of had the same thing. There was a long time where I was training with a group of guys, and I was driving about 40 minutes to get there. And those were absolutely some of the best workouts of my life. And probably if I would have kept going up there, I would have enjoyed the workout still. But gas was going up, and I'm a cheapskate, and I hate, like, just wasting money. So gas hit an astronomical $1.50 a gallon. And I was like, man, I can't keep doing this. Or it was like $1.80 or something ridiculous. I thought it was really, really high. Little did I know that it would continue until it hit almost $4 a gallon. But anyway, you know, that was my that was the cause for me to start building my own garage gym, and I quit going up there all the time. So, but you know, could I have been stronger and kept doing strongman competitions and gotten better at the powerlifting movements? Yeah, probably, because I was in kind of a team. But, you know, at the same time, at that point in my life, that was like 2006, I was really falling in love with grip sport. And when I was going up there, we were doing a lot of other things aside from grip sport, and I wasn't getting the stuff that I wanted to done. So it ended up being one of the better things that I've done with my training. So, I mean, you don't know how that kind of stuff is going to turn out, but sometimes you just got to follow your heart and do what you think is best, no matter what the main cause was. You know, for me it was gas prices, but I guess looking back, it was actually my passion for grip. I wanted to put more time into it. So, you know, that's how stuff works out.
It does, and you know, it's funny how you don't know where, you know, the next bend in the road's going to take you, and you know. This is a thing I see, you know, when we were talking about the name of the show was The Fuse, you know, what lights you up, what stirs your emotions, you know. When you're going through a lot of that stuff, man, you're very unsure. What am I doing here? Am I making the right move? And as you become more accustomed to taking things back, taking it over, you start, and this is big, you start building confidence. I know people love to throw that word out there. Oh, I don't have confidence. And, you know, you're too hard. Well, I got news for you, man. You better come up with a boatload of confidence when you're out. I've told people the stories. You know, I ran out of heat last year. I was front squatting. It was probably 10 below in that garage. You don't think, but you sweat. All right. I don't care if it's 10 below or not. Your body is perspiring.
Yeah.
I had hardly – all I had on was like one of those shirts that, you know, blow out the sweat from you, and a pair of sweats and nothing else. Well, there I am front squatting. I go to rack the bar, and a goddamn bar was stuck to my throat, okay? That didn't feel too good when I had to let it – now, it didn't get any skin, but I got it off me, obviously, when I racked it, and I had a nice big, you know, red mark right across my throat. I've had shit where – you know, I'm reading all the stuff in Iceland, Jed. This is great. And they're like, if you're a real Icelander, you don't wear a shirt when you lift the Húsafell stone. So I was like, well, I've got about a half a Húsafell out here, and it's zero out. So I decided to take my shirt off.
Mm-hmm.
So I go and I walk the thing. It's stuck to my chest. Now, what am I going to do here? I can't walk into my house with it and try to turn a door to throw hot water on it. So I did what any man would do. I tore the goddamn thing right off my chest. I still got a round scar on one pec, man.
Yeah.
Smart things to do? No. But influences that you want to go out and try? Yes. And when you talk about the fuse that drives you, sometimes we do shit like that, and people look at you like, there's something wrong with you. And I was like, no. You know what it is? It's just the idea of, can you go out and muscle something up? Can you go out and walk something when it's zero out? Can you walk, you know, we're known here, we love snowstorms here. I love to test how far can we walk in the snow when it could be, you know, just below your knee, and you're trying to walk with a 250-pound stone. It feels like you got a goddamn tugboat tied to the back end of you, and you're trying to go through this. I love all those things, and I think that's what makes all of us in this sport, whether it's grip, stones, pressing out of the rack, dragging shit, that's what makes us so unique, man. It's like, we're not afraid to do things. Now, what we think is fun, most people think's crazy. Most people, you know, my brother-in-law and I used to have this saying all the time. You know, we used to train at night a lot of times on snowstorms, right? Or it'd be still snowing and we'd be training, and we used to always say, while everybody's in the house staying warm, we're outside kicking ass and getting big. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's what it was all about. So tell me, I mean, you know, what do you see, you know, what's unique? I mean, how would you describe yourself? I mean, you know, you're a grip champion, among other things, but what is it with these things that you like to toy around with that just makes you different, man? There's a lot of grip guys out there, and they're all good, but what makes you different? What stands you out, you think, from everybody?
I guess it has something to do with, like, there's certain challenges that I think people automatically write themselves off as they'll never be able to do it. They'll never be able, you know, they'll never be strong enough to do these things. And I guess maybe I probably used to think that way too, but like anymore, it's like, oh, so you say it can't be done. Well, maybe I'll go ahead and try that then. So, So like one thing is, you know, I'm doing some training to clean the inch dumbbell. And if people don't know, it's a replica dumbbell based on a challenge dumbbell that Thomas Inch used to have, and he would take with him in Europe. He was like a British strongman guy. And, you know, he wrote all kinds of books and stuff like that, but I guess his legacy is this challenge dumbbell. And there's only been a handful of people that have cleaned this thing to their shoulder, put it overhead. So, I mean, actually, I honestly think that not only will I be able to clean the inch dumbbell, I think I'll be able to clean two of them. And I think, eventually I'll be able to snatch one. So, like, I honestly have no doubts in my mind it's going to come with time. Because, you know, I've got at my disposal, because I'm an obsessive compulsive personality that just won't quit, you know, I've got about every piece of equipment that you can imagine for training for excellence on the inch dumbbell. I mean, I've got 3-inch dumbbells down there. Two of them are mine. One's on loan. I've got a whole mess of, like, gradual increase size inch dumbbell training bells. I've got miscellaneous handles that hook up to loading pins. I've got miscellaneous handles that put weights on there. And quite frankly, if I don't end up cleaning the inch, at least cleaning the inch dumbbell, that's my fault. That's my fault now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, you know, barring injury and, if, and you know, some catastrophe or something that happens, I should be able to do that. And I think a lot of people would be a lot better off if they quit thinking that the way that they do. But, you know, some of the stuff that are, oh, man, that's so awesome, Jed. I'll never be able to do that. Well, you know what? You're right, because you just said that. So, I think people are – and it's even like, you know, not to name any names, but, I mean, there's people that, like, think I'm a big guy, and they're like, well, you've got a genetic – you know, you've got a genetic advantage. And I look at this guy, and they might be an inch shorter than me, and their hands are almost exactly the same size. And, you know, I'm like, what are you talking about, man? I've got no advantage on this, you know, really more than you do. So
no, you got the mental advantage, my friend. That's what it's called.
Yeah.
You know? And you got a work ethic. And I didn't mean to interrupt you, but when you were talking, it's you got to hear you hear the excuse. And that's what it is. It's excuses. Now, I got an inch sitting on the floor. I've pulled it up, I don't know how many inches, but I don't have the time right now to mess around with it. And that would be something like yourself. I really want to devote to that.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, it is 176, right? The weight of it?
The original one was either 172 or 173. The replicas come out right around there. So I have one down there that's 170 pounds, and I have one that's 176 pounds. They were made by different companies, and I'm sure it just is a luck of the draw type of thing, because you can't get that stuff exactly the same every single time.
Because I got mine years ago from, Iron Mind. That's mm-hmm. where I got. But I'll tell you one thing. That would be a phenomenal lift, man. I mean, if you ever did that with two and pressed them, think about that. That's 3/4. You will just go with the low end. And not only that, 2 3/4 inch handle. Is that right with that?
It's 2 3/8. 2 3/8 handle.
3/8. Okay. Yep. I mean, if for anybody that's never looked at an inch dumbbell, go out online and look at it if you haven't. I mean, this thing, holy cow, man. I mean, you talk about, as I always say, you want to build, if you could work that thing, you know, we always used to say coconut shoulders and stuff like that. I mean, absolutely insane. You know what I got that I think you'd really dig? I wish you were closer to me here. I designed and built, I had welded for me. And I don't know if you've ever seen it in any of the video. I wanted to be able to press a dumbbell, specifically a 2-inch handle, from any direction in height in the power rack. Mm-hmm. So what I did is we built this thing. The width of the power rack, the long rods go through a sleeve, a cylinder, go right out the back of this thing. Obviously, lock like they normally would with a pin. Same way with the other side. And the whole center is opened. So this is like sick, dude, because I can press anywhere I want with any size dumbbell. And this thing, man, is just incredible. And I've done a lot of different things with that. And like now, the only thing I'm pressing with dead stop out of the power rack now is a 3-inch axle or whatever you want to call it. Because obviously I want to do that too. And I'm just devoted to this stuff. Big time. And I've gotten into shit with people about this, and I really want to hear what you think, being that this is, you've done mega stuff with this thick stuff. Everybody's like, well, your weights are going to drop a lot. And I was like, yeah, so? And they're like, well, don't you want to be lifting heavy? I said, well, if I stay on these, I'll get up to that point again. It's going to take a while to do it because of the grip. But I said, think about this. What's going to build bigger, thicker tendons, ligaments, and muscle bellies? Not a 1-inch Olympic bar. I got news for you. I don't care what you're lifting with it. I think that the positives with thick bar training highly outweigh using a 1-inch bar. Now, do I have anything against the one? No, I'll go back to it now and then to test after I do this. But what's your feeling on the whole idea? Because, you know, it's not easy to do. You know, it hurts your hands if you're really into it, your fingers. But being a stone lifter, and you've done plenty of them too, and I know you can attest to this. What's the weakest point? The fingers. If you got to dig fingers in or your wrists are weak, you're not getting a stone up, because Bill Crawford and I got into this a while ago because we did a show recently on the Dinnies, and we're going to do one on the invert tomorrow. And, you know, he said he's had guys come over that were crushing deadlifters, man, and wanted to come over and lift stones. He said most of these guys couldn't even get a 200 to 250 off the ground. They didn't have the finger strength. So what's your feeling on all that as far as with thick bars, finger strength, stones? I know I laid a bunch on you, but I know you can answer it. So what do you think about all that, sir?
Well, there's two ways to go about it. You either – if you're worried about the size and the muscular development. This is what I feel. I feel if you have the interest in the grip strength training and you have the interest in maintaining the weights that you're pulling, then you have to do one of two things. Either mix it up. So the way that I'm doing currently is, for instance, for dumbbell rows, 1 week, generally I'll do thick bar stuff. And then the next week I'll do the regular size stuff. And I'll actually use straps if I go really, really heavy. So So that way, I'm getting the thick bar benefit, the grip for my grip, and I'm also getting the full body benefit. But you got to understand that you're training two things there. So you're training the grip, and then you're training the body. So you can mix it up, you know, like every other week, or you can say, you know, I'm not going to sacrifice the row development of strength and size, and I'll just do my thick bar training with other tools, other methods. So, you know, I don't necessarily, I mean, I do a ton of thick bar stuff for grip development. So since I do that much, I don't do a whole ton of thick bar rows. I'll usually mix it up. And that way I don't lose anything because I still have that, you know, that desire to build size and stuff like that. You know, I've done in the last couple months, I've done rows with like 212 pounds or whatever it ends up being. And, that's on a regular size plate loadable dumbbell with straps on. And those are thrown. I mean, those are not strict rows, but, you know, I can get like 160 pounds fairly strict with a row. Yep. So I honestly don't think I've lost too much, but I've also continued to add those in there as just a, you know, a side dumbbell row. But yeah, I suppose, you know, some people ask me that all the time on YouTube, at my YouTube channel, like, should I just get fat grips and throw them on everything that I do? And I tell them, like, you can certainly do that if all you care about is grip, but you probably will lose a little bit, you know, on your, as far as that's concerned. But those guys are probably more interested in the bodybuilding side and not so much the grip side. It really just depends on what you're training for.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, I've been, you know, I'm kind of specializing right now, and I'm just playing the game. And I, you know, I will tell you this. I think I told you this offline is, you know, I went back to front squatting, obviously, because, you know, it translates to everything, you know, especially with the stones.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been doing a dead stop, but I've been using the Apollon axle. And the reason why I've been doing it is it's not digging into that shoulder at all. It doesn't matter what I put on it. So that's benefited me, and you know, this is the thing. I know, you know, they'll come to you or they'll ask me or whatever, and I can tell you my experiences, but until you go and get under that bar or push that bar out over the top of you or pull it off the floor, I don't know what else to tell you. You know what I mean? It's like you're going to have to go out and just see what works for you, and I agree with you. I think the bent row, like the dip, like the old school pullover, all these movements have been lost, I think, in today's world. You know, you go, I don't go to any gyms. I don't know what they're doing, and I really don't care. Mm-hmm. All right. I like where I am. It allows you to be, you know, as they say, berserk, you know, and see the white light and all that stuff I've read and been and experienced. I love the bent row. I think it's better for your biceps than doing actual curls. And if you want to translate the stone lifting, I think the bent row's got it. Now, I was talking to Bill when we had one of the shows, and he was telling me he loves to do stone rows. And he likes to do those to dig your fingers right into the stone, literally, so you're used to having that finger and hand strength like that. Yeah. But I've taken it one step further, Jed. I've got a cement garage with cement walls. And I don't care what size stone is. I could give a damn. Whatever I'll grab. And I'll walk it over to the wall. And I would tell anybody, if you want to try this, spread your feet out. Because if you drop it, you got a broken foot or maybe a badly bruised one. Take and dig that your fingers into that stone and push against the wall like an isometric. Mm-hmm. Watch what your fingers and hands will look like. You do that for a few weeks. I'm telling you, my hands half the time look like they're going to pop. Literally, and I can feel it right now from last night. My fingers hurt like you wouldn't believe, but I look at my fingers, and my fingers are getting bigger. So if you can take a guy that's been training 25-plus years, okay, and you're still getting growth and size and strength, well, you've hit upon a mark, and I would push bent rows. I remember Andrew Derniat was telling me that he felt doing the one-arm bent rows was what made him the athlete he is, believe it or not. He felt that translated to anything he put over his head with one arm, et cetera, et cetera. And let's go into this a little bit more, if you don't mind. Bent rows, I mean, obviously you're a big fan of them. What do you think? Do you think they've got something over the other? I mean, or is this a movement that really agrees with what you want to do, Jed?
Well, I just want to clarify, the rows that I'm doing are actually, they're bent over, but it's just the one arm, like a dumbbell row.
Yeah. Yep.
So, bent over rows. Yeah, I have a back history, so bent over rows with like a barbell I don't generally do because that's my injury prevention, you know, background, you know, trying to manage risk that way. But I think for most people with a healthy back, they're a great option to do. You know, unfortunately, I think a lot of people go to gyms, you know, they just do a lot of machine jumping.
Yeah.
So they're going from one machine to the next. And, you know, while you can, you know, quote unquote, isolate a muscle that way, and you can train a movement pattern, you're not training, you know, all those other smaller muscles that aid you in stabilizing your spine, stabilizing your core, and things like that. So if you spend all your time on machines like that and then try to go lift a stone, you're probably going to be just about out of luck unless you have really piled the weight on those machines.
Yep.
So, you know, whenever I go to a gym, maybe I'm traveling on business or maybe I'm at a conference or stuff like that, you know, I don't shy away from machines because usually that's the only thing they have there in the gyms. But I'm loading those things up, man. I'm trying to stack every single machine that I come across. I mean, I like doing that. I think that's a lot of fun, stacking machines. And people usually walk by.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
They see how much weight you have on those things, and they're in disbelief. They didn't even know there was a hole in those.
I think that's great. They're probably ready to run out the door screaming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think that's great. I love it. That's funny as shit, man. you know what the thing is? When a guy like you comes out from nowhere, or anybody for that matter, and you walk into whatever you want to call these gyms these days, and you're loading stuff on, that's funny as hell because it's like nobody in their right mind would ever even think they could get to that pin or whatever they're having to load there, and they're like, there's no way, you know? It's like, yeah, there is a way, and it's like, this is what I like about what we do. We're kind of, you know, we're still primitive, man. I don't care what anybody says. If you're outside in 20 below, you got to want it pretty bad, man. And the thing that I like more than anything is not only the mental discipline, but the way you look at things and you look at life. What people think that is important, I just like, nah. You know what I mean? Am I going to disrespect your opinion? Nope. I might not agree with you. But there's so many things that used to edge me out before I got into all the, not only the training and the business. Man, they don't even touch me anymore. And people look at you like, what the hell, man? And it's like, there's, you know, this is my belief now more than ever. You know, and you and I both know, sometimes things piss you off or people piss you off or they don't come through or whatever. And you know something? I finally got over it. And that doesn't mean I have forgotten it. But I'm saying to myself, if I'm putting my energy into them, I'm not putting my energy into myself or the business. And guess what? I'm hurting myself. And if there's any lessons I'd pass on to anybody right now that is doing anything like we do, entrepreneurship, going after big goals, do not concern yourself with things like that. You know, you can keep them under your hat or whatever you do, but take the energy from that and put it into what you're doing. It's a very easy thing to take care of. It's very simplified. And I've got to the point now, Jed, where everything for me, I try to keep it as simplistic and as simple as possible, because you and I both know there's so many snake charmers out there that want to sell you the mother load and promise you everything, whether it's exercise, strongman, grip, you know, entrepreneurship. I remember listening to Tony Robbins one day, and he said, you would be amazed at the amount of people that will spend thousands of dollars on material and they never break it out of the plastic wrapper, right? If you're going to do things like that, that's a god-awful shame. Invest in yourself. Don't be afraid to step out, as they say. Look, and I'm sure you've had it too, and I will get right back to you. I've lost family and friends over this business, man. I went from an $80,000 a year job to nothing. And they're like, why would you give that up? I mean, right now I'd be making $100,000 right now in IT. I didn't want to do it anymore, man. And after they let us go, I was like, screw this crap, man. I'm going to go out and make a mark and leave a legacy. I'm not going to sit in a cubicle and get paid good and listen to everybody bitching about everything. And I'm just not made that way. And I could never go back and do that. So what I always tell people is this. follow your dreams if you can do it and still work and put the money into it. But sometimes life doesn't afford you that. And then you got to figure out what you want to do. And if you don't believe in investing in yourself, then I don't know if I've got much hope for you at that point, because otherwise you're going to go through life very unhappy. Relationships aren't going to be good, and there's no guarantees on anything. I know everybody will give you that disclaimer, but if it's me, I'll give you a guarantee. If I tell Jed Johnson I'm going to call him next month and we're going to do it on such and such date, unless an act of God kills me, we're on. All right. If I ask him, I asked him about some stuff with websites today. He sent me what I need, and I appreciate that. That's how it works, man. And if you can't be honest, upfront, authentic, and all these things that I believe in, have standards, you're not much of anything, and I don't want that in my life. And I've lost people because of disagreements of my business activities. You know, it's how come you got all this stuff, but you're not making a ton of money right now? You know, things that, you know, I'd like to just clang them right over the head with a 25-pound plate, man. But it's not worth it. You know what I mean? It's not worth it. So, I mean, you're a lot further than I am with all this stuff, but Do you find that sometimes to go out and define who you are and be what you want to be, it can be really, let's put it this way, it can be a bloody adventure, so to speak?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. Especially, when I started doing this, I was told that, you know, being an online entrepreneur was easy and the money just came in and, you know, all that stuff. And that's not how it works. So it was very eye opening for me. But I think, you know, drawing on my experience with strength training, I mean, it just becomes another challenge, and yep. you do what you got to do to be successful. Yep. You know, not sure what else to say about that. You got to do what needs to be done. You can't expect someone else to do it for you.
Exactly. And, you know, the whole thing is this, you know, I've said this before, like Bill Hinburn's been really on me. He wants me to get stuff out on how to build a podcast and everything I did, because I did it from ground zero. Mm-hmm. And a guy that was doing all my work back then told me I was nuts. And I'm glad I didn't listen to him, because we would never have even come up with the concept. And my whole philosophy is this. This is my philosophy with my business. I'm not talking about anybody else. You know, if it wasn't for thousands of hours on YouTube, I wouldn't even be here right now talking to anybody. Same way with the products and all that. It was self-study, and I came from a background that was motivated like that. When you're designing big software systems for IBM mainframes that run these huge enterprises, you got to be able to go out and read and do big, big things, and there's a lot of pressure to do it. Well, it wasn't hard to bring that into here, because that's what I was accustomed to. And the whole thing with this whole deal is this. You've got to be hungry, you've got to be eager, you've got to be willing to go out and just do it. And if you can't do those things, I would never tell anybody not to do it. But I want to be able to offer people solutions and advantage. And I'll tell you this might sound nuts, but I'm going to put these products out. I hope we can do the two I want to do just on business this year. You don't have the money, I'm not charging you, man. And people would say to me, are you suicidal? I'd be like, no. Well, you should charge. No, because a lot of people came through for me, and they didn't charge me a dime because they understood what happened, but they also saw the potential here, and I'm a believer in that. I want to encourage, whether it's training, whether it's entrepreneurship, whether it's just getting involved with this company here, I want to do that. That's my thing. And if I can help people and make their lives a little bit easier as they try to transition into stuff like this, I'm all for it, brother. I don't care. I don't care what people's sentiments is. Well, you could be making, you know, $500 and you're giving it away. So be it, man. That's the way the world works for me, and I'm committed to doing that. So I just think when we do things like that, it rains goodwill over everything. And you become a person to me of substance, of somebody that I'm not afraid to go to that's going to do that for me. So that's just kind of my mission with here, with everything. You know, I think we got a great platform to spread the word. Do I like books? Yeah, I read them all the time. But we can't get this message out through a book, all right? We can get this over the airwaves. And when I talk to Jed, you know, we've got a ton of material I'm sure we're going to explore. Well, Now you got a chance to listen to this guy. You got a chance to listen to me. I can put books out. Maybe I sell, I don't know, 1,000 of them. But eventually this podcast is going to get out to millions. I mean, with Spotify right now, I'm waiting. 75 million people subscribe to that. If we got 1% of that, think about the math with that. I mean, it's insane. So, you know, I mean, what do you think? I mean, I know that we, you know, and I want to do a couple more things because I know we're getting near time. But, I mean, I think it's a philosophy that works, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta break the ice somehow. You gotta build a relationship with someone. I mean, dude, I put out free information for, I don't know, better part of a decade before I, you know, started a real business. You got to be able to prove to people that you're reputable and know what you're talking about somehow, because most people are not just going to see something that someone's offering and just start handing over money. You know, I suppose some people do that, but it doesn't usually turn into a real good experience in most cases, you know, because everybody's trying to sell something and most people are not reputable. So you find out the hard way.
You're right. We got about 5 minutes. Let's do this, if you don't mind. Being that you are a grip machine, I'll call you. For anybody that's never tried it, or we got people in the middle of the road, or even ones that are at your level, just give a few easy movements that you would suggest to, let's go with like a beginner and an intermediate that would bring their grip strength up, where, you know, they don't have a bunch of fancy equipment. But why don't you give just like, if you can give a handful, that's fine, Jed, that would really help them out and maybe really spur them on to the next level of whether it's equipment or whatever they got to do, if you don't mind.
Yeah, man, no problem. The first thing I'll tell you is if the easiest way to build yourself some hand strength is to use thicker tools. So that could be as simple as, you know, throwing fat grips on there or using thick handled dumbbells and barbells, or even just the act of wrapping a towel around the bar and using it for rows, or wearing like thicker work gloves is going to make the bar feel thicker, even though the bar didn't change at all. The perception, the difficulty that's perceived will increase. So that's the first thing I'd suggest right away, is just supplementing or replacing some of your pulling movements with some thick bar stuff. And you might be shocked the first time that you do that how hard it becomes to pull the weight that you are used to pulling with just normal handles. The other thing that I would suggest to people is try out some pinching movements, like with some, like maybe 3 or 4 10-pound plates sandwiched together with the outside plates having their smooth faces pointed outwards, and then trying to pinch those with either 1 or 2 hands. So usually most people can get, like, most guys will be able to get probably like 4 10-pound plates. Women will be able to get like 3. If you're a little bit stronger, then the guy might get 5. But, you know, I actually had to train for quite a while before I could pinch 5 10-pound plates. I was lifting the blob before I could do 10-pound plates. Yep. So for me, that was harder. But you can also do two-hand pinching, like with 35-pound or, you know, even 25-pound plates. And what you're doing there is you're making what you're gripping a little bit more cumbersome and less advantageous than what you'd normally be used to. And you're also targeting your thumb. So thumbs are extremely neglected in any kind of conventional strength training program. There's no pinching involved in any kind of strength training program in most cases. So if you do some pinching like that, you can really strengthen a weakness. And the nice thing about that is, people might be thinking, well, what do I need a strong thumb for hitchhiking? And the answer actually, no, it's when you're going to spike someone in the throat during a fight. No, no, the application there is actually on things like bench press, rows, and things like that. You've got to secure the bar, and the thumb actually acts as a securing pin for the fingers. Yep. So when you're gripping onto something, you want to put your thumb over top of like your first, maybe first two fingers.
Yep.
And it will help seal your grip and secure it more so that you can perform the exercise better. And really, you know, if you think about it, it's not just being able to lift more weight when your grip is stronger. It's about being able to do more repetitions as well.
Yep.
And
yep.
It's also about being able to do each one of those repetitions with more confidence. And if you're worried about a bar slipping or, the bar getting off track in a bench press or something like that, you know, if you're worrying about stuff like that, then there's no way you're focused as much as you need to be on the lift. So everybody needs to do grip strength training. Everybody that is worried about, not worried, but everyone who's focused on strength, everyone who's focused on repetitions, endurance, you know, all that stuff. Everybody needs to make sure that they're doing some form of grip training. And even if it's not to strengthen, it's to prevent injuries. So there's things that you can do to strengthen all parts of your forearm so that you don't have to worry so much about getting things like tennis elbow, golfer's elbow, you know, wrist subluxations of the bones. A lot of the bones in the wrist can get moved out of the way and cause problems. And when that happens, you know, even something as simple as push-ups can end up hurting you. You know, so it behooves you to work your grip and work it from a multitude of angles. But those, you know, the thick bar stuff, the plate pinching and things like that are things that you can begin with that will get you started. And,
Definitely.
I mean, honestly, dude, there's a billion things that you can do
for
grip, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And you'll never get bored. I hear people talking about their training program is boring. I mean, there's a big name in the strength industry that I don't really have his permission to share his name, but in 2004, this guy was doing a seminar. And I think it was like $250 to go to a powerlifting seminar back then. And he was basically ready to quit training until he saw us doing some grip strength stuff. Because we were just pulling out things left and right, doing different feats and challenges. And that was actually the first time that I ever pinched three 25-pound plates. And that guy came back and entered it into his online log that basically breathed new life into his training program, watching us do what we were doing. So
nice, man. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So that might be like probably one of the top five testimonials that I've ever gotten as far as, you know, I wasn't really instructing or giving out information, but I certainly inspired that day.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, that was
lead by example.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just my passion coming out. So, you know, it's not because I was doing something cool or hard or anything like that. I was just being passionate about what I was doing and having a good time. So,
hey, you know what else, Jed, too? I like, I use, I like to curl my thumb up over. I use Titan's Telegraph, which
mm-hmm.
I don't even know if they make that anymore, or it was the hearty handshake they got rid of. But, yeah, I mean, fabulous stuff. I'm with you. And I'll tell you, I think your hands are going to dictate your longevity in this sport. And as we both know, when the hands connect to the brain, something goes off, man. And
mm-hmm.
That squeeze or that real harsh turn with a bar, you know, or you take in and shake a bar violently. I love all that stuff. Hey, look, we're at time now. If there's anything else you want to summarize, if not, give out your website, anything you got coming up, you know, et cetera, whatever you want. Let me give my stuff. And if you'd hang on the line a moment, please, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. First off, I don't know if we even talked about my main website. It's dieselcrew.com. I have a ton of articles, videos, and things like that on grip strength training there, as well as muscle building and just hardcore fun training. So I invite everybody to go there. What I'd really like to tell people is to go and subscribe to my YouTube channel, because I put videos up on that thing like it averages out to every day. Some days, like yesterday,
okay.
I think I uploaded 5 videos. So,
wow.
You know, you can get a steady feed of cool stuff to watch, you know, through the YouTube channel. And that is youtube.com/Jed Johnson, all one word with 2 D's, J-E-D-D Johnson. You know, and that's the main thing. If you want to get the fast track to success with grip training, then check out thegripauthority.com. That's where I do like my, my base level coaching and get people going the right way. And it's not just grip competitions. It's like pretty much anything, like feats of strength, and even sports specific grip training is covered there. So, you know, I encourage you to do that because, you know, I see videos all the time of people with grippers. Grippers are probably the most popular grip training method that are out there. And I would say probably about 75% of the people that I see training grippers are they don't have the right technique. They don't even have the gripper in their hand the right way in order to close it. And you can train for years doing that and never end up closing your gold gripper just simply because of the mechanics of what you're doing wrong. So, you know, those are my three things: dieselcrew.com, my YouTube channel, Jed Johnson, and thegripauthority.com.
Hey, Jed, one other thing too. I don't know if what your deal is with this, but is there a way people can also get you through email, or don't you correspond like that?
Oh yeah, absolutely, okay. Man. Well, I welcome. You want me to give out the email address?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
All right, yeah, sure. It's Jed, J-E-D-D, dot Diesel, D-I-E-S-E-L, at gmail.com. And I always get my emails because it goes right to my phone. I don't email you back within, like, a day, it's probably because I was doing, like, a training session or a competition or something or driving when you emailed me and I didn't actually see it. So, but I welcome, yeah, absolutely, welcome emails and, you know, even through Facebook and stuff like that, I get messages. The only thing I don't like to do is go through YouTube because sometimes that doesn't work. Like, the people never get my message back and then they think I'm a stuck up punk, but really it's just the fact I think that infrastructure doesn't work very well on YouTube. Yeah. So I prefer Gmail and Facebook.
Okay. You got everything then?
Absolutely.
Okay. This is Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We're sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Don't forget Steven Santangelo's organic foods called Athlete's Choice, and you will get the ultimate results you're looking for. Contact him at primalcreations@aol.com on Facebook, STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. Steven will be on with us next week, by the way. GrasslandBeef.com. That's my good friend John Wood, who I've known for years, long before we even hatched all this stuff. He's also known as U.S. Wellness Meats. You're going to get the benefits of CLAs and omega-3s through that free-range meat. Grass-fed, grass-finished. Don't forget, too, he's got grass-fed lamb, bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. Jason Fulner's PlanOfYourWorkouts.com. You can get the same logbook out on Amazon Prime for only $5, no shipping. Also, StrongerGrip.com. They've been in business for 10 years. That's Ryan J. Pitts. We got they make gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, arm wrestling, and the trophies you've seen on ESPN. They've been featured in Men's Health magazine, and they make custom hammers for Mick Dodge and all of us guys and gals out there. That's the deal. Now, quickly, don't forget, enter into the contest to win the sledgehammer he built for myself, FBC, $350 hammer. Send us your video, upload it to YouTube. On the subject line, type in FBC and Stronger Grip with a dash with a description. If you want, we'd like you to even describe it more in the big box below. Put your email address in there. If you don't do that, you're out of luck. So don't blow it by not having that in there. We want everybody, whether you're in the family now, you're not, come on in. If you're on the show, put it in. We don't care. We don't exclude anyone here. So get into that. And if you win, you get to come on Motivation and Muscle. Whether you're on here or not, we're going to get you out there, and we're going to make you something else, too. We want to make your star rise. So don't forget, you got to March 17th, St. Patrick's Day. You still got plenty of time. Top 10 ways to build mind and muscle. That's out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Like I said, leave an email, download it, change your life. Strength times power equals success. And the winner's circle out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com, same thing. You're not getting a guy that's never done this stuff. You've seen film of me. You're going to see much more film of everything. We are authentic. You ask me anything, I'll answer it to the best of my knowledge. If not, I'll go out and try to find it for you. FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Sponsorship is gigantic, too. We know that. Right now, this is the last month. It's $100. 5 to 15 shows a week. Nobody in the business does that. And I usually average 12 a week. I mean, it's 7 days a week now. I want to build the brand. I want millions of people coming in here. We want to educate, motivate, and offer solutions. And like I said, when things get to that point when they're out, you don't have the money, I'll still give it to you. I am not going to deny people the ability to find their greatness. And if you're straight up with me, I'll help you 100%. Also, as everybody knows, the $30 goes to muscular dystrophy, and everybody should know this by now. That's what both enterprises are dedicated to. My brother Jimmy, who died of it, of a common cold and pneumonia. Come on in and join us. That's all I can say. We're going to be around for at least 25 years. Become a partner. We'll work together. We'll make each other great, and that's what it's all about. Join my millions. Like I said, we don't follow a path, we clear cut it. If we're going to have Jed back on, I'm sure of it. If there's something you'd like he and I to do, FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com. And I'll leave you with all this. FiorelloBarbellCo.com, MotivationAndMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. Everybody has, and I thank them for that. We're on Facebook at Fiorello Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. We're on Twitter at Fiorello Eric. And I'll leave you with these five things. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give somebody anything that's inspirational, powerful. You know, try to you know, get people, prop them up. Don't put them down. Help somebody out. If it's legitimate, obviously, you're entitled to say whatever you want. But we all know positive words are much better than something that's negative because they hurt worse than getting a shot right to the chin. Think about that. And as my mom used to tell us when we were kids, and she still says it, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. Look at people. They walk with their heads down, and they can't even look you in the eyes. They're beaten down, man. Don't be that way. Think more of yourself. Thirdly, this is good. If you're going to go out and lift today, you know, press the bar, push the bar, grip the bar, squat the bar, pull the bar, right? If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel, Crusher Stone, says in blood red, domination on both sides. We are domination. If you're not on board, we're coming for you. You're going to be part of our millions of our family. And as I say with everything I write now, dominate and obliterate everything in your path. Take no prisoners, man. Keep going no matter what. And obviously, too, no one's ever going to clip our balls. As Russell Fur says, who's been with me since the beginning, who's been on the show, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Russell, that was one of the nicest compliments I've ever got, and we will say that to the day we sign off. Jed Johnson, thank you, sir. It's been an honor to have you on.
Thanks for having me, man. I'm going to be paying attention to what you're doing, and I can't wait until the next time we get to talk, man.
Well, we will be on next month. I'll get you a date, and you'll have it today. So for Jed Johnson, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. Don't be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road. Tell 100 of your friends about us. If you're not coming, we're coming for you. So get ready, everybody. Have a good, safe day.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.